Let's turn your Bibles back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We took a break from our study in 1 Thessalonians last week to focus in on the authority and importance of the Word of God and why we use the King James Version around here as far as it being the Word of God for us, accurate 100% in the English language for us, and that's why I preach and teach from it. And so it was a good time. Again, obviously, if you missed that message is on Facebook Live and obviously on our website as far as the audio as well, and also included some background notes with that on the Facebook post as far as our that message is concerned. But today we're getting back into 1 Thessalonians, and we'll be just covering verse 8 in chapter 1. We've been coming through, obviously, from the beginning of this year, just looking at our vision as far as preaching the Word, an opportunity for us to be able to share the Word of God. And we looked at Ezra in the Old Testament as an example. He was a priest and a scribe for the nation of Israel during the time of them coming back from captivity and restoring the religious order, so forth, as far as the nation of Israel is concerned, when the temple was rebuilt. But he was a man that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. We see that from Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, and that's exactly the order of things that we need to do today. We need to prepare our hearts to hear the Word of God, to be able to receive the Word of God, to have the Lord teach us His Word, and then to be able to apply it to our lives, to do it, all right? And because there's nothing worse than being a hypocrite, telling somebody to do something that you yourself are not doing. And so that's what you see with Ezra, that he was not that he applied the Word of God, he obeyed it, then he taught in Israel. And that's the same thing that we need to be doing today. And it's not something that is just for the pastor, for the preacher, for the leader. It's for everybody that is a Christian. Everybody who's a believer in Christ should have that that goal to be able to learn and grow in the Word of God and to be able to be used of God to share it with somebody else, whether it's a family member, whether it's a co-worker, somebody in your neighborhood, whoever the Lord gives you opportunity to do so, that you're ready to share the Word of God. Again, what you know, what you understand, what you're applying to your life, and don't think that you have to know everything about the Word of God before you can ever open up your mouth to teach it. That is just never going to happen. We're never going to be able to completely understand and learn everything that there is about the Word of God. The issue is applying what you know and being ready to share what you know with others. Well, as we've been coming through 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I mean, one of the things we've been looking at in the last several weeks is that in verses 3 and 4, we saw what we are elected to do. As far as Paul thanking the Thessalonians, as it says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Those are three things and areas that are eternal works, things that will be rewarded for at the judgment seat of Christ. And that is what God has elected us to do, to have that work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. We saw in verse 5, we just covered that verse by itself, and looking at the conversation that we're supposed to have. And we see the example of the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy, how they, when they went into Thessalonica, he talked about how the Word of God came not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. That manner of life, that conversation that they had. And the result of that was, of course, the Thessalonians started following them. We talked about them submission to the mission in verses 6 and 7. You look there, as far as reviewing in verse 6, it says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And when we talk about that word in samples, it's like the plural of example, but the word in sample or example means something that is a print or a mold, that you're reproducing somebody in a like image and like manner. So the things that they picked up from Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they themselves became in samples or examples to those around them in Macedonia and Achaia. Well, that leads us to verse 8 today, where we're going to be talking about propagation. And what I mean by that is them continuing to publicize or get the Word of God out there. Look at it in verse 8. It says, for from you sounded out the Word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith that God were spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. In other words, when we look at this verse, you've got to divide it down into three different points on your outline sheet. We have publication of the Word. They were sounding out the Word of the Lord. And again, them as a church. It wasn't just the leadership of the church that was doing this. The Thessalonians, all of the believers in that church were sounding out the Word of the Lord. in Macedonia, the area that they were in Achaia. But not only that, you see where their faith is spread abroad. People were speaking, had a great testimony of their faith. And that's why I'm saying point number two is reverberation. I mean, their faith was resounding around the world. And then Paul says, so that we need not to speak anything. It's like evaluation. I mean, Paul didn't have to say, hey, look at all this great stuff that we did for the Thessalonians. They themselves proved the work that they did in that church. And we'll see more of that even next week as we finish out this chapter. So I want to have a quick word of prayer, and then I want to dig into what we need to see in verse 8 and how it needs to apply to our lives today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you do. Lord, I just pray that you would work through me this morning. Lord, that you would take the things that you prepared in my heart, my life, in this message, Lord, and be able to hopefully help me to communicate it effectively to others, that we would understand the importance of sharing the truth of the Word of God, to be able to do our part. Lord, it doesn't mean that everybody's got to be some great evangelist or some, you know, start churches like Paul did, you know, over and over again in many different cities or whatever the case. That's not what we're talking about. It's a matter of just simply trusting you to use us to share the truth of the Word of God that we understand and that we're applying in our lives. Lord, speak to us today. Help us to be obedient to your Word. Help us to understand that your Word is what truly is going to make a difference in our lives and the lives of others. This world desperately needs to see the light of your Word and understand what it is to have a relationship with you and not just a religion. The world has plenty of religions that are man-made. We need your Word. We need a walk with you. Help us to understand it and spread that truth. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at it. Let's dig into it. Verse 8 again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia. It's going to go on from there, obviously. But looking at how the publication of the Word of God, they were getting the Word of God out there. Again, they understood the importance of the Word of God and that it needed to be spread to others in their area. All right, and beyond that. And again, that is a mission. That is something that all of us share and have in common as believers in Christ. I want to give you a couple of references in dealing with that. I want you to actually go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think this is probably a familiar passage to most. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And down in verse 17, it's a famous verse that talks about, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. But I really want to focus in on verses 18 and 19 that are after that. We understand that once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a new creature in Christ. God has created you new, and he's given you a new purpose in life. Right? Doesn't matter what your career is. Doesn't matter what your background is. God is able to use you in Christ to be able to spread the truth of the Word of God, just like the Thessalonians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says this, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, again, verse 18 is important. I don't want to go preach a different message off of a cross-reference, but understanding that all things are of God. The things that happen in our life are for a reason and for a purpose that we're able to share the truth of the Word of God with others, to reconcile people to God. Lost people to be saved, saved people that are maybe out of fellowship and not walking with God like they need to reconcile them as well. And God has given us this ministry of reconciliation, that we can take all things, whether it's in our lives or the lives of others, and be able to reconcile them to God. That's what our ministry is. That's why God has left us here on planet Earth when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We have a job to do. We have the Word of God to spread. And how do we do the ministry of reconciliation? It's laid out for us in verse 19. So look at it in verse 19. It says, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, God is not imputed. He's not, again, what he's done through Christ, that we are not, our sins are taken care of. That's the easiest way to say it. Jesus Christ has taken care of our sins on the cross. We don't have to worry about that anymore. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we accepted that sacrifice for sin, and the payment for sin was eternity in hell. Jesus Christ did that for us. But he's also, as it says there, has given us the word of reconciliation. I mean, think about this. Alright? The worst problem you can have is to have a problem with God. And sin separates us from God. And so think about it. If you're a Christian here today, somebody told you this truth of the gospel. They used their ministry of reconciliation. They used the word of reconciliation to reconcile you as a lost person to Jesus Christ in order for you to have a relationship with God the Father. That is something that is liberating. Now, think about that. I mean, we should be thankful daily that whoever God used to be able to lead us to the truth and so that we're able to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Now, guess what we owe it? We owe to be ready to be used of God to share the truth with somebody else that needs to be reconciled. The lost person at your work, the lost person in your family, the lost person in the neighborhood, the lost person in the community, wherever it is, to be able to share with them and the things that they go through, to say, hey, those things God is allowing, in a sense, to be able to get your attention, to be able to get, so you can have a relationship and be reconciled to Him. And let me show you how that can be done. Let me show you what the word of reconciliation is all about. But as I said, it's not just for the lost person. There are people who legitimately accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, but they're not walking with God like they need to be. They're not in fellowship. Sometimes we talk about they're the Easter or the Christmas Christians. You know, they come to church maybe a couple of times a year, whatever the case is. Or, you know, something's happened in their life, and beyond, they blame God. And God had nothing to do with whatever happened. Whatever the case is being able to take the things in their life and the word of reconciliation and say, hey, let me show you how you can get back in fellowship with God the Father to reconcile this situation. God, let me show you what the word says. Right? All of us as believers in Christ have this ministry. And we're talking about evaluation today. It's like we need to evaluate ourselves. How are we doing? How are we doing? Are we actually utilizing the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation that God has given us? Well, that's what the Thessalonians, that's what they did. They understand that truth. They received the word of God. They understood what it's all about. And they saw the example and the lifestyle of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And they took that on themselves. That, you know what? This is something that we need to be doing as well. We need to be reaching the people in Macedonia. We need to be reaching the people in Achaia. We need to be reaching the people that wherever we can in this world. And that's what the Thessalonians did. Now, I want to give you another reference in looking at this. And this time, go to the book of Ephesians. This is a lengthier cross-reference, but it really lays out what the purpose of a local church should be about. I mean, if there's any, this is actually the book of the Bible that we first preached here at Faith Bible Church when we started back in 2016. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 11 and read down through verse 16. Because I cannot emphasize enough of the importance of every believer sharing the truth of the Word of God. I've shared this stat before. No matter the size of the church, whether it's a big mega church usually, or is it a small little church like ours, whatever the case is, and everything in between, generally 20% of the people do 80% of the work. No matter what it is, no matter how big of a church, and I've been part of a big church, that's where I got my initial training in the Word of God. You know, got sent out as a missionary. It's a huge church, right? Average attendance on a weekly basis was 5,000. Had two services, morning services. Had a service at night as well. Plenty of Sunday school classes, so forth and so on. It was a good church to be a part of that time that we were there. But you know what? Same stat was true. 20% of the people did 80% of the work. All right? That's not how God has designed the body of Christ. He wants everyone to do the work that is laid out for us to do, this ministry of reconciliation, to be able to share the truth of the Word of God. Look at it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Again, this is what every local church should be doing. Let's read it, starting in verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That includes everybody. Yes, He has pastors and teachers. That's my specific function that I have as a pastor-teacher. And my job is to make sure that all of us are being perfected. All right? From me to everyone in the church is being perfected. It says for the perfection of the saints. Not some of the saints. All right? For all of them. for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Notice verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now remember, perfect in the Bible, it's not talking about being without sin. Perfect in the Bible is talking about maturity. You see that in this very verse, that we're growing up, being perfected, and growing in the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? Why is that? Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's a lot of deception out there. There's a lot of things that call itself Christianity, that calls itself a church, but in reality, it's an error. It's deception. And it's like, we need to be growing our people in the truth of the Word of God, growing in the relationship with the Lord, so they are not deceived by every wind of doctrine. Every year there's some new wind of doctrine, some new thing, and people who are not mature in the Word of God, and don't know the Word of God, or grounded in the Word of God, fall right into it. A church should be, a leadership of the church, and everybody in the church should have this understanding of, we have got to continually to be growing. I can't come to the place and say, you know what, I've been preaching for, 32 years, all right, been saved just about as long, all right? It's like, I know enough. I've read the Bible a number of times, I'm good. I can coast from here. No, I need to continue to be growing. Every believer in Christ needs to continue to be growing. Why? Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Now, folks, again, that's every member of the local church. This concept of just like, well, it's the leadership's responsibility to preach and teach the Word of God. Yes, it is. But it's not meant for the members of the church just to sit and listen. No. It's about growing. About being edified, so they too can also speak the truth in love. Verse 15 again. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know why it says may grow up? It's a choice. Just like we choose either to accept Christ or not, even when we choose to accept Christ, we still have a choice of whether to decide we're going to grow or not. God desires for us to grow, that we may continue to grow in Him. And how are we going to grow? It's by hearing the truth of the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God being spoken, being taught, being discipled, so forth. It says this again in verse 15 on to verse 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I know verse 16 says a lot, and a lot in it, but basically here it is. Every single member of the body has a job to do, and it's important for the function of the whole body. We have all experienced when there's something wrong with something in our body. And it hinders what we can do. It's like, obviously, wearing my Chiefs jersey for obvious reasons today, just like I did last year. The reason why the Chiefs won last year is because it was important. I wore a jersey and preached in it last Sunday, last year. And so we're doing the same thing today. Now, if they should lose, I'm not going to take responsibility. Somebody else did something. I don't know. No. But we always have an injury report. Every week, that sort of thing in football. Who's on the injury list or reserves or whatever the case is. And, of course, the years that we're in now, COVID reserve or whatever. But it's important that every team member does their job to do their best. I mean, we're going to talk, there'll be an MVP of the Super Bowl, whoever that may be. But whoever that MVP is, they didn't get there without the rest of the team. All right? It usually seems like it's the quarterback, gets the MVP. I'm not saying all the time, again, I'm not a sports guy, but it seems like that's the case. But you know what? I think Mahomes did throw a pass to himself in one game. I think he did. I can't remember. I think it bounced off somebody. Maybe I'm just making that up. Who knows? I'm tired today. But anyhow, it takes a whole team. A quarterback just can't throw it out there, throw the bomb, and run down himself and catch it and get it. It takes a team. And for a team to be successful and to win, it takes the whole team. It's not just one or two people. It takes a team. All right?
And you think about it, if the body of Christ, if the local church is going to be successful in God's eyes and doing and completing the mission that it has for them, it takes the whole team to do it. If the whole team is not working, then it affects the results. And as we see here in Ephesians chapter 4, this is what every local church should be doing. Growing its members in Christ through the Word of God. So why? So they can turn around and teach others to edify the body of Christ. It really is that simple. It's not complicated to understand the mission for the church. And that's why this year I think it's so important for us, as we go back to 1 Thessalonians, that we all need to be preaching the Word. It doesn't mean you have a pulpit. It means that when you have an opportunity, you're ready to share the truth of the Word of God.
Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. There's many other references that we could lay out in talking about this, but we need to move on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 again, we talk about publication of the Word of God. It says, "For from you sounded out the Word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." Incredible testimony that the Thessalonians had. The Word of God was being sounded out from them, from their mouths, in Macedonia, in Achaia, but it didn't stop there. The people that had the experience of hearing the Thessalonians speak the truth of the Word of God, guess what they did? They spread the Thessalonians' faith to God around the world. They were telling people, like, have you heard about these Thessalonians? Man, they have an incredible faith toward God. And it's like, the reason why I'm telling you about the truth of the Word of God is because of the faith that I saw displayed in them. They have an incredible faith. And the reason why they have such an incredible faith, as we're going to see as we continue this year through 1 Thessalonians, is because of the suffering and the persecution that they went through because of the Word, and they still spoke the Word of truth and made a difference in people's lives. They did not let the suffering and the trial stop them. And that is all too often the sad testimony of Christians today. A little persecution arrives because of the Word of God, because of their stance in Christ, because of the way the world is, and instead of standing on truth, Christians are like, this is too much for me, I'll just sit down and shut up. I'll just be more like the world. God can use somebody else. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's good enough. Well, what about your co-worker? Co-worker that, if they happen to die today, they'll be in hell. You ever think that God has you in their life to be able to share the truth and to be able to display an incredible faith that you have to God that will make a difference in their lives? I want you to notice something. This time I want you to go back to Romans chapter 1. Paul, in starting this letter to the Romans, I want you to notice what he says about their testimony that they have. Romans chapter 1, we're going to look down in verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says this, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." People knew about the Romans and their faith. Spoken out throughout the whole world. Their faith. Have you spent any time with the Romans? Have you heard about the incredible faith they have? This is not just Paul being nice. This is the Word of God. What an incredible testimony. You see, it wasn't just the Thessalonians that had that kind of testimony. Their faith being spoken throughout the world. The Romans, the church that Paul worked in that church, that they had that testimony as well. I'll give you another reference. This time I want you to go to Colossians. So just the book before 1 Thessalonians. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to notice what Paul says about the Colossians. Because this is a church that Paul didn't initially directly, I think, worked in. But notice what Paul says about them as he's writing this letter to them. Colossians chapter 1, I want you to look down at verses 3 and 4. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints." Paul heard about their faith that they had toward God and their love that they have toward all saints. Now that should ring a bell in your mind as we've come through 1 Thessalonians. Faith and love. Faith and love. Those kind of works, again, we're supposed to have a work of faith and a labor of love, as it said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 that we've already covered. Those are the things that are eternal works that God will reward us for. Well, Colossians had a testimony of incredible faith. Paul heard about it. All right, so we see the example of three different churches here. Thessalonians, the Romans, Colossians. Paul even says the same thing about an individual. I want you to look at Philemon. If you go right from 1 Thessalonians, continue on, you have 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. With a small little book of Philemon, right before the book of Hebrews. I want you to notice what it says in Philemon, verses 5 and 6. As Paul was writing this personal letter to Philemon, it's in regards to one of his servants, Onesimus, that ran away, but I want you to notice what he says about Philemon. Verse 5. "Hearing of thy love and faith," those two words again, "which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." It's like Philemon had a testimony of an incredible faith and love that he had to God and to all saints. And Paul even continues on and says in verse 6 that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, that it even becomes even more effective, that it is growing. We should never be satisfied with where we're at with our relationship with Christ. We should always want to be growing in our faith. Now, if we go back to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and start seeing and putting these things together, you look at what Paul says and how, "From you, Thessalonians, you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." Still a little bit of self-examination. Can the same thing be said about us? About me? Am I sounding out the word in the area that I'm in? Obviously, we're not in Macedonia, we're not in KI. But am I sounding out of the word in Arma, Franklin, Pittsburgh, Southeast Kansas, State of Kansas, Midwest? My faith being talked about even places around the world? Is that a testimony that we have? Is that a testimony that we're growing in that direction? Are people speaking about our faith that we have toward God? Are those conversations that are happening? Do people know that at work? Do people even at work know that you're Christian? And if they do know that you're Christian, what kind of Christian do you think they think that you are? In other words, are you one that really is trying to seek to live by the Word? Or the hypocrite kind? What's our testimony? All right? Folks, we cannot be afraid to share the truth. If you believe that this is the truth, there is no other religion or other quote-unquote scripture or whatever, religious writings that is true. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by Him, and we believe that this is the very Word of God, like we talked about last week, that we have the very words of God, then we should be ready, as I said a couple of weeks ago, stand up, speak up. Not to beat people over the head with the Bible, but simply speak the truth of the Word of God and let the Word of God be active in our life, that we are living the Word of God, that we're being that conversation, that manner of life, that testimony. Because that's exactly what we see with the Thessalonians. Why did they take on this mission? Why are they speaking the truth of the Word of God? Because they saw it in Paul, in Silas, in Timothy. They knew it is real. And so they too spoke the Word of God. They too had a faith and a testimony that was making a difference in this world. And no matter the persecution, no matter the tribulation, they continue to speak the truth. We are living in a world and living in a country that is, we know, it's not getting better. It's not going to get better until Christ comes back. And we should not let those things stop us from speaking the truth. And you know what we do? You know how we do that first? We need to do it among ourselves. That's why we do what we do around here. That's why I try to give you opportunity to learn and grow in the Word of God and to be able to share that, to do it now. Because you know what? I know this. If we can't even speak the truth among ourselves, among our family, our friends in the church, then the chances of us doing it at work, in a community, probably not so great of a percentage of us that would do that. Right? My point is we've got to, this is the ground, this church, this is the opportunity to continue to grow and perfect ourselves, like we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, for all of us to learn and grow in the Word of God so we can have that confidence that when we have that opportunity at work, we're ready to speak it. And I'm telling you, it'll do something for you. It'll help you grow even more. I mean, even this week, I had the opportunity to be able to share the gospel. I had like 20, 30 minutes or more to be able to share the gospel. This particular person had a question, and interesting enough, how it all started, TV in the lobby of the hotel, the weather station, whatever, they had some program talking about UFO sightings. And that person asked me, "Do you believe in UFOs?" I said, "Let me tell you what I believe according to what the Word of God said." That led for the next 30 minutes of laying out the gospel. You never know when you're going to have an opportunity. And I left that conversation just like, "Thank you, Lord, giving me the opportunity to be able to share the gospel, to be able to speak your word. That is why I am here." And indeed, that's what every believer in Christ, that's why we're here, is to be able to speak the truth of the Word of God. Let's finish up. You look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia," that is publication of the word. He goes on, "but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." Reverberation. Man, people were like talking it up about the Thessalonians because of their incredible testimony of faith that they had to God. And the last phrase there in verse 8, "so that we need not to speak anything." Evaluation. I mean, Paul's evaluation of how he ministered to the Thessalonians was evident. Didn't have to say a thing, because the proof is in the fruits, the results of what the Thessalonians were doing. They were speaking the word. They had a great testimony. Other people were talking about how great the Thessalonians were in their faith, in the face of persecution, as we'll see again later this year. Paul didn't have to say anything. Paul didn't have to say, "Hey, Silas, Timothy, man, we did a great job among the Thessalonians, didn't we? Woo-wee! Oh, we were awesome." No. They prepared their heart in the Word. They lived the Word. They taught the Word to the Thessalonians. And the Thessalonians saw the reality of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God. And they too submitted to that, and they too spoke the Word of God. And so there's no need for Paul, Silas, and Timothy to say anything. It comes down to, we know how we do in ministering the truth of the Word of God as we see results, as we see others accept Christ, see them to learn and grow in the Word of God, to see them being able to speak the truth and being able to share that truth with others. That's going to be the real evaluation for us. A lot of times churches get so caught up in like how many people got saved. I mean, lost people need to get saved. But that's all churches are, a lot of times the pastors are stuck on it. Every week, every Sunday, the message, salvation, salvation, salvation. Well, it's like everybody in your church is probably saved. Probably got to teach something else, preach something else, help them grow, help them to be able to take the truth of the Word of God and the Gospel and give it to others and see, again, the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We should be teaching the next generation. As a father, I'm truly going to know how well Trish and I did in raising our son. In the time that he gets married, he has a kid, whatever, and seeing how he raises them. As a parent, we can see as our son, as he shares the truth of the Word of God with other people and see him minister the Word of God to others, that's going to give us a real evaluation of how we did as parents. All right, that sort of thing. It's like seeing what the next generation does. And that's so important. And the problems that we have in Christianity today is that we have churches that are not raising the next generation spiritually in the Word of God. We're not teaching them. We talk about, hey, yeah, get saved. But we're not raising them in the Word of God, in a relationship, so they can turn around and do the same and know how to have a strong walk with the Lord and a strong testimony themselves. That's the failure of the Christian church today. We don't teach people the Word. We don't teach the next generation. And it's no wonder that our country has the problems that it does, because people don't know the truth. We talk about, you know, all of us that are in more conservative bent and that sort of thing, and we see this cancel culture, and let's just get rid of the history and everything like that. That's not good. We're supposed to learn from history. We should be teaching our kids what happened. Not make the same mistakes. Grow from it. Not just, let's get rid of what we think is bad. Well, what's been going on in Christianity for years? It's like it's not a matter of the importance of the Word of God. Let's make sure a church that people are entertained. Let's make it so lost people will feel comfortable in the church. Let's just make it exactly like they would experience in the world. And we have Christians that don't know the truth of the Word of God. So how in the world are they going to be able to speak the truth? How are they going to have the testimony like the Thessalonians? Are the Ephesians? Are the Colossians? Are the Romans? This is serious stuff. I want to give you a couple of references and we'll be done. I want you to go first and foremost back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, and I want you to look down in verse 22. Proverbs chapter 13, in verse 22. Great little verse that, again, deals with evaluation of, you can say, good parenting. But not just talking about the physical, but also dealing with the spiritual. In, again, Proverbs chapter 13, down in verse 22, says this: a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, not so much concerned today about the second half of this verse, but the first part, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Grandkids. As I said earlier, if I have been a good father, if I am a good father, then my grandkids will have an inheritance. And the inheritance that I want my grandkids, if I should have, the Lord carries coming and my son gets married and he has children, the inheritance that I want to leave my grandkids is one that is a spiritual one. All right? In the way our country is, I don't know how much of a financial inheritance I'm going to be able to give them. But spiritually, if I've done my job, then my grandchildren should have a strong inheritance of a relationship with the Lord and being able to have a testimony of everything we've been talking about, of faith toward God and sharing the truth of the Word of God. That would be the evaluation of how I was as a parent to Andrew. Now, again, I want to give you one more reference because of the importance of this, and this is going back to the book of Judges. Perhaps the saddest book in the Bible dealing with the nation of Israel. It is the sixth book of the Bible. You've got the first five books of Moses and the book of Joshua. Joshua leads the nation of Israel into the promised land. And then you have the book of Judges, where the theme of that book is that there was no king in Israel and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And I want you to notice this. And this is tragic. I probably mentioned this before in our Bible studies or preaching at some point. But it bears, again, speaking about it right now in the light of what we're seeing with the Thessalonians, because again, this is literally like the opposite of the Thessalonians right now, learning what not to do. But it is everything that I see wrong with Christianity today, and the world today, for that matter. In Judges chapter 2, I want you to pick it up down in verse 8. This would be about the only thing that I could, in a sense, say that would be negative about Joshua. Joshua was a great leader for the nation of Israel. He's a picture of Christ, you know, leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. I mean, Joshua is the same name Jesus, right? So you literally can say in the book of Joshua is the book of Jesus. So, I mean, an incredible leader that the nation of Israel had. But if there's one thing I can say that Joshua may have failed in, and his generation, is what we see here. Judges chapter 2, pick it up in verse 8. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaish. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there rose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." This would be where I would say is a downfall of Joshua and his generation. Now, the generation that came up next after them, how in the world did they not know the Lord and the works that he has done? You think about it. Especially Joshua and Caleb. I mean, they lived as a slave in Egypt. They saw the strong hand of God do all those miracles and all those plagues to get the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Saw the parting of the Red Sea. Joshua, the parting of the Jordan River. 3.5 years or so of a campaign of God winning them battle after battle to get that promised land. Can you imagine all the great stories they had? They had the Word of God. They had the books of Moses to be able to share with the kids. And it tells them in Deuteronomy chapter 6 how they're supposed to teach them to their children when they're sitting down, when they're waking up, everything that they're doing, that they're teaching their children the Word of God. They didn't do it. They obviously didn't do it. Because the generation after them didn't know God nor His works. Why? Because the generation that didn't know God and His works didn't speak it to the next generation. So what was the result for the nation of Israel because of this failure? Look in verse 11. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, other gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth." The people of God did the exact same thing that the world was doing. How many Christians today are no different than what we're seeing with the nation of Israel? And why? Because the generation that knew God and His works failed to speak it to the next generation. Thankfully, that wasn't the Thessalonians. It wasn't a testimony of what we see of the Romans. It wasn't a testimony that we see of the Colossians. It wasn't a testimony that we've seen of Philemon. Had a strong faith toward God. They were sharing it. People were speaking of their testimony. What about us? Are we going to follow that example of a Paul, Silas, Timothy, the Thessalonians? Are we going to be like the generation, as far as Joshua, that failed to teach? I mean, it's mind-boggling because, again, we think about, man, Joshua's a great leader. I mean, you know, guys, we like telling stories. Guys like telling stories. We like telling stories. I'm sure ladies like telling stories too. Imagine all the great stories and things that they could teach that generation and they didn't do it. Why? Is there not enough time? Wasn't important?
wasn't a priority. As some parents do today, well, I'm gonna let my kids figure it out. I don't want to try to influence them on what to follow God or not, or what church to go to. I'll let them figure it out. Is that biblical? No, it's not. And as much as we can talk about this physically with kids, spiritually it is true as well. God gives us somebody that we either lead to the Lord or start being able to disciple them, whatever the case is. We have a responsibility to teach them the truth, to help them to learn and grow in the Word of God. Why? So they can turn around and do the same thing with people in their lives. That's what the purpose of the church ought to be. And that's why it's so important this year, I think, is the year that we've got to understand we need to preach the Word. We need to share it. We need to teach the next generation. Because if we fail to do so, we think it's bad now. We think it's bad in our country now. Imagine if we continue the same train of not teaching people or speaking the truth. It's just not going to automatically get better. No. It's only going to get worse. We have an obligation. We have a duty. We are commanded to teach, to preach the Word. Let's pray. Now, Father in heaven, I'm going to thank you and praise you for today. I thank you and praise you for your Word. Lord, I have to rest and trust that your Word, your Spirit will accomplish the purpose that it needs in the hearts of everyone that has heard this message or will hear this message. Lord, because I know that I am inadequate, but the great thing about it is it's not about me. It's not based on my abilities or inabilities to preach and teach the Word of God. Yes, I'm to study. Yes, I'm to prepare. And I try to do that diligently, daily. But it's about trusting in you to do the work. And I think that's important for all of us to hear and understand, because you want to use all of us. It's not about what we can or can't do. It's not like Moses giving an excuse that, well, I'm not an eloquent speaker. Go send somebody else. Lord, you're the one that's made man's mouth. You're the one that teaches us. You're the one that can use us. You're just wanting us to be willing. Lord, and I pray that is the case with us today. And if not, that we get our heart right. That's not about focusing on us, but focusing on you and what you can do. Lord, you can use anybody, and you want to use everybody. And I pray you help us to have a testimony, a faith toward you, a love toward you, toward all the saints. Lord, that, again, that our lives can actually make a difference in other people's lives for eternity, and to see them do the same. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.